This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. And time now for All Tech Considered. Today, how you connect to the internet. Gone are the days of hisses and beeps. Now most of us log on through silent, fast, and often pricey broadband connections. But at a time when many families are trying to trim the monthly budget, there may be alternatives to those plans. Omar Gayaga covers technology culture for the Austin American Statesman and for All Tech Considered, and he's been testing out some of the new options. Hey, Omar.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. What have you found?
Well, I think that people are looking at these new options as a possibility of going completely wireless, the way 10 years ago some of us looked at our cell phones and said, hey, maybe I don't need a landline in my house. What these are is this WiMAX technology that we've been hearing about for a couple of years, and it's finally starting to hit the mainstream. And what it is it's like a router that you would have in your home, only it's completely wireless. It gets its information from a 3G or 4G network the way your cell phone does, and it would either be a router that sits in your house and gets that stuff wirelessly or a little USB device that plugs into your laptop and you could take it with you.
So before people start thinking about saying bye-bye to their Wi-Fi, help me understand how this is different from traditional Wi-Fi.
Well, Wi-Fi is the network that would be in your home that would provide internet to devices in your house, but it's limited to a very small area. It doesn't have a very far range. This WiMAX is things that cover an entire city area. You take it; it's more like the 3G service that you would say get on an iPhone, where you could kind of take it with you. So you would conceivably have both. You would have a WiMAX connection to your home and then Wi-Fi for the devices in your house in a smaller network.
It's supposed to be less expensive and it's supposed to be faster. Will that always be the case?
No. The complaints that I've heard about it from people that have already switched over is that the coverage can be very spotty depending on where you are in the city. If you're sitting at home and you've got a steady connection, you might get speeds that are comparable to a pretty fast cable modem connection. But if you're out in the wild, on the outskirts of the coverage area, you might get almost dial-up speeds. So it's very inconsistent at this point, and these networks are continuing to expand and roll out. It's kind of like the early days of cell phone coverage, where the coverage areas just were not there yet, and it's still very early in this process.
We're going to move on to cost, so Omar, hold on just a second. If you're concerned about the cost of internet service, you might wonder, am I actually getting the speeds I'm paying for? We had Sarus Farivar explore the promises made by providers of high-speed connections to see if they really live up to them.
Have you ever noticed how commercials for broadband service are so vague?
Welcome to the fastest internet speeds.
Along with the fastest internet connection, you also get a whole bunch of free stuff.
My internet is fast because I got Roadrunner Turbo with Power Boost, kind of like an extra boost of speed.
Turbo with Power Boost? That almost sounds like an energy drink. Anyway, to be fair, companies like these are offering different levels of service. They offer download speeds of 1.5, 3, 6, or maybe even 20 megabits per second. But that's not quite what we're actually getting.
With broadband, we have allowed ourselves to get into the equivalent of a legitimized con game.
That's Craig Settles. He's an industry consultant based in Oakland, California.
All of the advertised speeds are speeds that you can't be sure that you would get on an average day. It is a theoretical ceiling, if you will, and baseline.
In other words, that 6 megabit DSL connection that you just bought has a potential maximum of 6 megabits, but it's almost certain that you're always going to be 10 or 20% below that limit. Fortunately, there are websites like speedtest.net that you can use to analyze your internet connection.
For example, I did a test earlier today, and so I'm getting 1.2 megabits per second download speed, right? I'm paying for 1.5.
A lot of consumers care more about the qualitative experience rather than the quantitative speed. For example, if you watch YouTube or Hulu on your computer, there's an easy way to tell if the connection is slow.
If the videos are pausing all the time, if the voice is choppy, because that's even more noticeable than the video itself, usually, then people will complain.
That's Yale Bronstein, a professor of information science at UC Berkeley.
But for your average user, my guess is that they can't tell the difference between 1.5 megabits and 3 or 6.
And that's the other thing. Industry analysis from Forrester Research shows that only 41% of Americans know what their home internet download speeds are. For NPR News, I'm Sarus Farivar.